praise God for what he's doing through our partners at Casa David. And they're really doing the same thing that we are this Easter at Orchard Hill. Casa David opens their doors to family members who have members staying in the hospital and who would otherwise be living on the streets, and they bring those family members in and they feed them and they share the good news of Jesus Christ with them and give them a place to sleep. And I talked to Olivia yesterday and she told me this month alone, 10 people have already accepted Jesus Christ through the ministry that they're doing and the hospitality that's going on there. Yeah, praise God, that's something to celebrate. So this Easter, our special Easter offering we do is going to that, to 10 years of ministry there, but specifically Casa David in Guatemala, who we partner with, has the opportunity to expand their house and add 10 more beds. As you heard Olivia, they have waiting lists every day. 10 more opportunities to bless families and individuals. So our offering is specifically going to make that happen, to allow 10 more people and 10 more families to hear the gospel, to receive biblical hospitality and the love of Jesus Christ. So if you want to give this Easter, we just encourage you. You can go online to MoGive and give via the special Easter offering tab, or there's special Easter offering envelopes on the black boxes by the door. But we want to support our mission partners. And you heard Olivia reference in the video that we're doing the same thing this Easter. She's talking about the Easter celebration meals that we've been talking about for a month. Olivia and I talked, and we were both so excited that God had put the same vision on our hearts. Some of you have asked me, even though we've talked about it for a month, what even is an Easter celebration meal? Really, brothers and sisters? An Easter celebration meal is an opportunity for you, as missionaries right where you are, to simply build a relationship with someone in your life that God has placed that needs the love of Jesus. You don't have to sit down and have a five-point gospel conversation with them. Our Lord said he came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't just wait for them to come to him. He sought them out. Brothers and sisters, that's what this is about. Seeking out those people that we love with the love of Jesus that God has already put in our life and building a relationship with them. People aren't projects. There are people to be loved just like Jesus loved us. So my invitation to you is come to the training in the East Overflow right after the service. See, hear a little bit more about how to do this, how easy it is, how really it's just building an authentic relationship with someone you already know to share the love of Jesus that you have received with them this Easter. On Thursday, we're also having a feast together. You can sign up on the ministry highlights table, but we're coming together to practice this, to eat good food, to serve one another, and to have intentional conversations about how we can love and share the gospel with one another in an everyday, natural way. So if God is stirring on your heart to love others in his name by simply serving them a meal and being a good friend, come to the training, come to the feast. And let's wait in expectation and in celebration of what our God is going to do through you, Orchard Hill, as you simply live the love of Jesus right where God has placed you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, today God has placed us here in his house with his people. So let's stand and greet one another as we continue to worship the Lord.
Spread out. What Christ has done for us through his sacrifice on the cross. Think about this.
There in the ground, his body lay.
Saying about, let's speak them together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let's declare our faith as his people. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let's sing that last line together. No power of hell.
No power of hell. No scheme of man can ever block me from his hand till he returns or calls me home here in the power of Christ's hand.
worship the God who was. We worship the God who was. And who is.
We worship the God who is.
Evermore will be.
We worship the God who is.
Evermore will be.
He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds a victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout.
Amen. Let's just give God another round of applause. Just one more time. Just let him know the joy. Just thank God for what he's done in your heart and what he's done in your life. God, we stand here this morning and we give you all the applause because you alone are worthy just for all that you have done in our lives in the past, today, and what you will do forever. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love that song that we sang, The House of the Lord, because it gives us such a beautiful image, which is given to us from the first century in Galilee. House of the Lord in the Bible, in the Hebrew language, the word is Beit Ab. Beit being house, Ab being father. House of the Father, house of the Lord, the Beit Ab is the Father's house. And in the first century, if you were going to enter the Father's house, we can back up to the other slide. And in the first century, if we were to enter into the Father's house, you would come through a gate, and you would enter into, there would be a lower outer courtyard and an inner courtyard. And in the outer courtyard would be the common space where the families would gather, and they would do their work. They would play together. The kids would play. They would socialize together. They would do that in the outer court. On the inner court was common space, where was the kitchen, eating area, family area. Again, they would bring the animals inside during the cold evenings, and so that was the lower level. The upper level, if you will, in the Father's house was composed of many apartments that would go around the top, if you will, little apartments where each individual family could live. Because you see, in the Father's house, there would be three or four generations living together in the Father's house. And they would live together. On the roof is another common area. Are you getting a theme here about commonality in the Father's house? Where they could go upstairs, they could do some more work, they could sleep in the cool of the night there in Israel. And it was another space that they could go. This was an image of the Father's house, the Beit Ab. This is the image that I want to put in front of you when we were reminded of what Jesus said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." This is such good news, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. This was the way of doing life in the Bible times, when the groom became betrothed to the bride. He would go away, he would go to his Father's house, and he would maybe spend a year building onto the Father's house a place for him and his bride and his family to now live, and they could now live in the Father's house with the patriarch and all the rest of the family. So think Mary and Joseph. When Joseph and Mary were betrothed, Joseph had to go, and he was building onto his Father's house so he could come and get Mary. Jesus is the great bridegroom. We, the church, his bride. Jesus says, "I am going to my Father's house. For my bride, the church, for those who are in me, so that you will have a place to stay in my Father's house." Friends, this is about belonging. You know, I think we lose so much in a lot of some of our translations, because some of you may have learned this. In my father's, it says mansion, right? In my Father's mansion. Because, right, we're consumeristic, we live in America, we like to buy things, and we want to have rich and wealth and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus, what he's pointing to here is not that kind of riches. But if we go culturally, what Jesus is pointing to is belonging. And I think that's a much more beautiful picture. I think that's a much more beautiful metaphor, that we can belong to God. We were once estranged from God. We were in opposition to God. But because of what Jesus has done and through him, we now can go to the Father's house and live with God and be in the Beit Ab. Jesus says in John, he says, "As many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God." And then he puts exclamation point. He says, "And that is what we are. We're children of God. And we get to live in the Beit Ab with the Father." And as it says in Romans, it tells us that we are heirs of the kingdom. How about that? God brings us into the Father's house, calls us his children, and then says, "You are my heirs. You now get to inherit everything that my home is about. All my blessings, all my grace, all my mercy, all the wealth, all that I have to offer is yours," says God. We get to inherit it. Why? because of what Jesus has done for us, no one comes to the Father except through me. Because of Jesus, the bridegroom, bringing us to the Father's house, we now get to belong with Jesus. That is so good. We belong. We belong. I once was a beggar. Can we just sing that? But now I'm royalty. Not because of what I've done, because of what the Father has done. Brought me into his house through his Son into the Beit Ahav. And in a few moments, we're going to celebrate infant baptism. And we're going to celebrate that Emma is coming to us today, and she's going to receive the outward sign that she belongs to God's family, that she is part of the Beit Ahav. You may remember that in the Old Testament, the sign that you belong to the family of God was circumcision. On the eighth day, every parent would bring their baby boy, and they would take him to the temple, and there they would receive circumcision as a sign that this child was now part of the family of God. They were under the covenant and promises of God, and when the child received this circumcision, it meant that God's covenant promises were freely now offered to them as they lived in the Father's house. They now were a recipient of all that God had for them, even though they didn't respond to it or they did not earn it or initiate it. This act was initiated by God. This is about God saying, come to my house, and God extending his saving promises towards his children of faith. And Peter reminds us in Acts that these promises are not just for you, but they're for your children and your children and all those who are far off. The children are welcome into the Father's house. And in the New Testament, this sign was changed. We no longer come to God through the law. We rather come to him through Jesus' atoning work on the cross. And God gave to his family a new sign, and that sign is baptism. The water of baptism reminds us that God has promised to us that Jesus cleanses us from the original sin that stains our souls. Water cleanses, water purifies, water refreshes, water sustains. Jesus himself said, I am the living water. In the water, we remember and celebrate God's act and God's role in salvation, that he took the initiative to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. God made us the righteousness of God through placing our sin and guilt on Jesus Christ. And we are reminded in the waters that God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the Beit Ahav, the family of God, the church, that he promises to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew us and to cleanse us, and that he will come and resurrect us to eternal life. Through baptism, Jesus calls us to a new obedience, to love and to trust God completely, to forsake evil in the world and to live a new and holy life. And yet when we sin, we don't despair of God's grace and mercy, nor do we continue to sin, because the water reminds us that God's covenant promise, it's a sign, it's a seal of God's eternal promise of grace to us. And friends, we are in a tradition where we believe that that covenant of grace extends to the children living in the household of faith. Just as an 8-day-old boy was circumcised and marked through his circumcision, is living under the promises of God, even though they could not respond in faith, so too our children are immediately placed under the promises of God. The Father does not withhold, or he does not postpone his saving promises to our children who are living in the Beit Ahav and who are part of the household of faith until they are older and can profess their faith in him. Just as the toddlers running around the Beit Ab were under the Father's care, the little three-year-olds and two-year-olds that are running around our lobby after the services, their baptism says to them, I am God's kid. I am a child of God. I am not a little pagan. I am not of the world. I'm inside the Beit Ab, and I belong to the Father's house. So this morning, Justin and Kara are bringing Emma to the waters of baptism as a sign of God's saving promises about what God promises to do for us. And as Christian parents, we bring our children and we stand at the baptismal font and declare that our child does not belong to the world, but our child belongs to the Father. Our child is part of the Beit Ab, the family of God, and they will be raised in a Christian home that is set apart, that is holy. And this child will know from the very beginning their God. And they will know from the very earliest days that God is calling them to Himself. And we, as those who live in the Beit Ab, with a little child running amongst us, we too are in the family of God, are going to make our promises this morning to say we'll walk alongside the parents, that we'll walk alongside this child, that we will point them to God, that we will teach them, that we will pray for them, that we will do everything we can so that they will understand and come to know the promises of God. And then above all, we are going to pray for this child, that one day they will come and stand here before us and publicly declare these promises as their own. Later on, in our time together this morning, Dennis is going to come, and Dennis is going to stand before us. Dennis, who was baptized, he's going to do this very thing, claim these promises for himself. I know Dennis loves God. I know he's been walking with Jesus Christ for a while, but this morning, as he joins with Orchard Hill, he's going to stand here and declare these promises for himself. So Justin and Kara, Emma has been waiting a very long time and very patiently. If you could please join me here at the waters of baptism, that would be great. Is Carson going to join us too? Or is he going to say, that's kind of iffy. He might be there, he might be here, he might run in the aisles or across the front. So we're just going to buckle up, because that's what life in the Beit Ab is. So we love our children who are here this morning. So Justin and Kara, you two have appeared before our shepherding elders, and I must say this is number four for you. And so let me ask you these questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and acknowledge that you are a sinner, sinful by nature, but that by the grace of God alone, your sins have been forgiven, your old nature put to death through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, so that you may be brought to newness of life? What is your answer? Who is your Lord and Savior? Justin and Kara, let me ask you this. Do you promise to instruct Emma in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, to pray for her, to teach her to pray, and to train her in Christ's way by your example through worship and in the nurture of the church? What is your answer? I'd like to ask those who are part of Orchard Hill Church, if you would please stand. As a covenant community, we are going to do everything that we can to point Emma towards these promises of God. Congregation, do you promise to love and encourage and support these parents in the raising of Emma by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service? What is your answer? You may be seated. What is the name of this child?
Emerson Rose Hinges.
Emerson Rose Hinges. Look how beautiful she is this morning. Emerson Rose Hinges. For you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he died and he conquered death. And all this he did for you, little one, even before you knew anything about it. We love because God first loved us. Emerson Rose Hinges, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Emerson Rose, child of the covenant and baptism, you are now part of this community, marked as Christ's own, and in this outward sign, we celebrate the inward movement of the Holy Spirit in your life, trusting the day when you will profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Emerson Rose, let me introduce you to your Beit Av this morning. Emerson means like ruler, greatness, leader. And Rose means, comes from like the flower, which is love and beauty. So a great lover, Justin, right here. You're gonna have to keep your eye on this one, you're right. You know, between Addie and her, you got your hands full, pal. Yeah. Beyond that, the verse that I put on the screen, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that's what came to my mind when I thought of a great leader, right? A leader, greatness, and love, because what does this world need? The love of Jesus Christ. And Emma, we see you bringing that love of Jesus Christ to this world. We see you being a leader, standing up for your generation and saying, you know the way to go? It's through the love of Jesus Christ. That you would be the hands and feet when you see those who are broken and hurting and the world is discarding, that you would reach out in love and you would be a leader in love. And we look forward to that day. Beautiful Emerson Rose. God, we thank you for Emerson. And we thank you for her precious little life. Oh, we know she was born early and you sustained her in that life. You knit her together in her mother's womb, God, and you gave her every breath of life and you brought her to health. And we are so grateful for that. And God, we thank you for her beautiful family that she is born into with her sister and her brothers. And God, we just pray for your peace in that family. We just pray for your presence in that family, that they would continue to grow and that home would just be a light in their neighborhood as people see that family living differently, living lives set apart and holy because of Jesus Christ being present in their life. And so, God, I thank you for Emerson. And may you sustain Justin and Kara in all that they do as they raise her now and into her teens. And, God, we look forward to the day when Emerson will be standing before us proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ as her own. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I think Emma was doing some business while I was carrying her. This hand that's right here may need to be sanitized. That's all I gotta say, Emerson. We are so glad that Emerson is here. People of God, let's welcome Emerson Rose to our church family. And I got this book for you, kind of one for the whole family that you can do devotions together.
God's Word tells us in the book of Romans that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And it's in light of that promise that we have a young man who's going to come up here on the platform to publicly and verbally declare Jesus to be Lord. And so at this time, Dennis, would you come join me up on the platform? Now, Dennis, I don't see a cute picture of you on the screen behind us. I don't know, we must have missed that. But no, we're glad that you're here. And today I wanna begin simply by asking you a few questions. And the first question is this: do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you acknowledge that you are a sinner, sinful by nature, but by the grace of God alone, your sins have been forgiven and your old nature has been put to death through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross so that you may be brought to newness of life? What is your answer?
I do.
Dennis, tell me, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
And lastly, I want to ask you, do you believe that the Bible is your only rule for life and faith? And do you promise to declare Jesus publicly before others and share fully and in unity in the life of the church? What is your answer?
I will.
All right. Well, one of the things that we like to do for everybody doing their profession of faith is give you a copy of God's Word. And we know that you probably have a Bible at home, but we want to give you this as a special gift because in light of that vow that you just made, the Bible is our only rule for life. It's our only rule for faith. And our hope and prayer is that you are going to devote yourself to that Word every single day as you seek to conform your life to its commands and to the image of Jesus. So we'll give that to you after you do your profession of faith. Well, then it's my favorite part of people professing their faith is getting to hear how God drew you to himself, because God does that in so many different ways. And so at this time, would you just share with our church family your faith story and what really brings you to this point in your faith today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't have anything written down, which I think my wife wanted me to do, so I didn't talk too long. So I promise, I'll try not to talk that long, but I will talk a little. I came to know Christ when I was in high school, and we were at a number of different churches for different reasons, whether it was a move or something else, but it wasn't until that I was at a church called Cornerstone, which is a Methodist church in Grand Rapids, that God pursued me. So a lot of people, I feel like, will give a testimony where they say, I invited Christ into my heart. And I understand that, but I think what might best describe my story is that God found me. And there was a hymn that my grandpa was telling me about when in discussion with him a few weeks ago. Bill Crawford actually reminded me of it the other night, which I appreciate. But I wanted to read the lyrics to you because I thought it summed up a little bit more wholly what my story is like. And it's, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of thee. And every time that I've heard that or read it, it makes the most sense for what happened in my life. So I was at Cornerstone. I had been exposed to Christ my whole life in terms of the environments that my parents put me in and the churches I'd been a part of, but it had not changed who I was or what I did or how I made decisions. And it wasn't until there's not a specific point in time. There wasn't a like specific memory where I can go, this was the time. But over my time at Cornerstone, learning about who Jesus is, and if he is who he says he is, what my life should look like. And so I remember feelings that I did not have before in terms of how I make decisions. And that includes how I want to respond. And so the outreach was something really big that I got into at Cornerstone. It was something that I love to do, to be the hands and feet of God. I want to learn more about him. It was a feeling that I'd never really wanted to. I had been exposed to it, but this was something intentional that I wanted to get to know who he was more. Our pastor had left at UMC, and or at Cornerstone, I should say, and that had kind of behooved me to go along with where my family had gone around the time, which was Ada Bible, and the pastor there had. I had really felt like I had learned a lot more. He's a person who had taught very much in the context of the time of Jesus, and it was an education for me a lot. But it was something that at the time, I had been there for a little while. I had been at another church in my grad school, and when I'd come back to this side of the state and met my wife, Erica, who's been here for a long, long time, she had brought me here, and at Orchard Hill, the community, her immediate friend group, I would say was the first people who had brought me in and made me feel welcome, and it did not take long before it felt like old friends. But at Orchard Hill, the reason why I want to take a step in committing to this church and being part of the body of believers here is simply for, not just because of the social aspect of it and how great that is, and not just because there are pillars and that there are examples to me. When I look around, Greg, Corey, Mike Bart, Bob, Dan DeWall, all these people in my life who are such examples to me, whether you know it or not, it's not because I'm going to just learn from and just consume and show up and glean an education, but because I want to step into service of this community, and I feel like I'm surrounded by a lot of people who are of the same attitude. So it's very easy thing for me to do. It's something that I see my immediate friends, whether it's the guys at Bible study or our gang here, our friend group. It's something that I am pretty proud of to see people do, and it makes me want to do the same. So thank you, and I hope that didn't take too long.
For this testimony, let's give God praise. You know, Dennis, a few things just stood out to me while you were sharing, and one of them was what Bob just talked about. When you become a part of this church, and when you begin to interact with its body, I feel like one of the things that you love about Orchard Hill is that sense of belonging. And it started with that friend group, and it has grown to the men's Bible study into so many different areas. But the second thing that just really stood out to me is there was a shift in your life, it sounded like, in high school and your young adult years, where you went from knowing about Jesus to Jesus actually being the Lord of your life. And that is something that I hope everybody here really resonates with. And maybe that's a challenge for you. Maybe you too have grown up in the church. Maybe you too have grown up in Christian education, yet Jesus isn't the Lord of your life. And my challenge for you would be to evaluate yourself. Are you living with Jesus as Lord? But Dennis, we are so thrilled for you making your profession of faith today, and we really are looking forward to seeing you continue to be part of this incredible church family.
Amen.
So yes. Dennis, if you want to follow me over to the waters of baptism here. So one of the things that we mentioned was when you were an infant, you were baptized. And in the same way that Emerson's baptism, it looks forward to the day that one day she will profess her faith in Jesus. And that is a beautiful sight, what we got to see today. And so simply today, we want to remind you of your baptism, and that in baptism, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked as God's own forever and ever, and called to follow Christ in mission. Amen. So Dennis, lastly, we want to ask you to come down on the floor, and we want to pray for you. So at this time, if you're a family member or a friend of Dennis, we want to invite you to come forward and lay your hands on Dennis. If you're an elder or a deacon, part of our shepherding team, we want to invite you to come forward as well. But let's surround Dennis as we lift him up in prayer, as we celebrate his profession of faith.